at the start of the year, when I started as a campus missionary, Dominic said that he would ask me to preach at Village. Then in April, he came to me and asked me to speak on Genesis 2, 1 to 3. And apart from thinking about, am I ready to do this, I had to start thinking about this whole topic of work and rest and what Christians have called the Sabbath day, the seventh day, or the rest day. Now, some of you will know that I stopped doing regular work as a chef last year and started working in Christian ministry, and you have been supporting me, praying for me, and watching me. And some of you will probably know that I have been struggling with rest and working too much. I have wrongly had an internal self-talk that I need to do more for the Lord, that I need to keep pushing, and that I need to work harder. And this has been a very big journey for me, trying to listen to God and trying to obey God in what He says here. I think I'm a reasonably normal person, just someone living in the inner West. Around here, being busy seems to be seen as proof that you're doing well, both to keep up with the cost of living and to earn people's respect. What about you? When you hear the idea that God, the one who loves and cares for us, gives us a gift of the Sabbath, of rest, and He wants us to take a break and have a holiday, what do you think? Do you think, that's a good idea, but I haven't got time for it? In our culture, we're constantly rushing. For our culture, rest is often seen as weakness. And for most of this year, I have struggled to stop working. But we will see tonight that God built rest in the very fabric of creation, not as a burden, but as a blessing for His people. Now, what this means is that it's good. It's life-giving, and it's meant for our flourishing. Yet, I suspect some of us feel guilty about resting. We know we should rest, but there's just so much to do. There's a work project due, exams to mark, exams to sit. When someone asks how our week has been, almost all of us answer busy. It's like being busy is a badge of honor. To say it was quiet or I had time to slow down can almost feel like we're admitting failure, like we're not doing enough. I am going to try tonight to help all of us come on the journey that I have been on the last 3 or 4 months as I have thought about this topic. And in fact, wrestled with God on this topic about how I might trust Him in this area of rest. As I have prepared for tonight, the Lord has been gently correcting my mindset. I have come to see over the last few months of thinking that my main responsibility is not to do more for God. It's to be closer to God. And we will see tonight that Sabbath is one of the ways God draws us back to Himself, to remind us that He's God and we are not. Tonight we're going to explore the Sabbath in 3 key movements. First, from creation, where it begins, then through Christ, who fulfills it, and finally toward eternity, where it culminates in perfect rest. Let me lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would have hearts after You, You who rested on the seventh day. Help us not to think we're too important or too busy to rest. Show us as our Creator that You worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, and that this is a pattern for us, Your creatures. Lord, we struggle to trust You, but by Your Spirit, teach us to see the work, that work is not all there is. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's begin with Genesis 2, 1 to 3. So the heavens and the earth and everything in them were completed. On the seventh day, God had completed His work that He had done, and He had rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, for on it He rested from all His work of creation. God rested not because He was tired, but because the work was complete. That is so important. Sabbath begins with satisfaction, not exhaustion. God looked at all He had made, called it very good and stopped to enjoy it. When I was about 15, I had a school art project. I had decided to paint birds in nature, something I've always been fascinated by. I spent days working on it, layers of color, shading, details, and eventually I stepped back, looked at it, and knew it was finished. I didn't need to add anything. I put the brush down and felt this quiet joy, not because it was perfect, but because it was complete. And here's something remarkable. Genesis 2, 1 to 3, it says it's the first time in this scripture that something is called holy. Not a mountain, not a person, not a temple, but a day. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Holy in the Bible means set apart and special. And that's how he sees the rest day. And this is going to be really significant for how we should see the rest day. Rest is not optional. It's not extra. It's part of God's design. We will see tonight that this is what the Sabbath is, a pause to say, it is enough. God made space for us, so we, his creatures, should make space for rest. Now, you will see at point two that this is made clear, that God gives a Sabbath to teach us to trust him. This is in the second book of the Bible, in Exodus 16. Let's go there. And we will see God teaches Israel to gather the bread, the manna, that he provides for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. He even provides twice as much food on the sixth day so they wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. Now let's read Exodus 16, 23. He told them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a day of complete rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you want to bake and boil what you want to boil and set aside everything left over to be kept until morning." So they set aside until morning as Moses commanded, and it didn't smell or have any maggots in it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you won't find any in the field. For 6 days you will gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now, what happened is that some still went out on the rest day looking for food. And this is really, really bad. And we know there are so much like us. Let's keep reading. "Yet on the seventh day, some of the people went out together, but they did not find any. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and instructions? Understand that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he will give you 2 days' worth of bread. Each of you stay where you are. No one is to leave his place on the seventh day.' So the people rested on the seventh day." What is going on? They didn't trust God to provide. Sabbath is not just about resting our bodies. It's about trusting our God. It's a weekly test. Can I stop working and still believe that God is working? Or can I let go and believe God will hold it all together? We live in a world that glorifies hustle, that says we have to always be moving, producing, succeeding. But Sabbath says, and here's the tension I feel, I want you who support me in ministry to know that I work hard. I don't want to be a slacker. But even more important than that is that God, Regina, and you, and most importantly me, know that I am seeking to trust God, that I can stop, that you can stop. God's got this. Our value is not in what we produce, but in who we belong to. Now, in our third point tonight, God gives his people the Sabbath, the rest day, to remind them that he has rescued them. The Sabbath is a sign between him and his people. God tells his Old Testament people in Deuteronomy 5 the purpose of the Sabbath. Let's read that together. "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." God gives the Sabbath to remind Israel, you are no longer slaves. You're free. You don't need to work nonstop to survive. You belong to me. You belong to God. I have rescued you, and there's more to life than work. And the same is true for us. Every time we stop, rest, and worship, we are reminded, I am not a machine. I am not what I produce. I am a child of God. I can rest. I need to rest. I should rest. Interestingly, even modern research confirms this. Skipping regular rest makes us less productive. Economist John Penceval in 2016 found that working 7 days a week produced about 10% less output than working the same total hours over 6 days. Simply put, 7 days of work only gives 6 days results. Other studies show the same trend. When work hours are too long, productivity drops sharply, while taking a weekly rest day improves focus, mental health, and reduces burnout. The UK's 2022 four-day work week trial proved it. Less time working led to more output, and many companies kept it because employees were healthier, happier, and more effective. So here's the pattern for us as New Testament Christians. God's design for rest isn't just a nice idea. It's for our good, both spiritually and practically. And the real question is, what rhythms in your life remind you of your identity in Christ? I am at point four, and here we see that the rest day is a day that is different, a break in the rhythm, and a day God gives us to enjoy. In Isaiah 58:13-14, God says, "If you call the Sabbath a delight, then you shall take delight in the Lord." The rest day is not a duty, not a burden. It is a delight. So for us, it's a joyful meal with friends or family. Phones down, hearts unhurried, laughter shared. That's the spirit of Sabbath. So take a rest. A Sabbath doesn't mean stopping and doing nothing. I mean, I suppose it could mean doing nothing if that's what you wanted to do, but it's actually about engaging in what truly gives life. Worshiping God, expressing gratitude, appreciating the beauty around us, and slowing down, noticing God's presence in our lives. Remember my bird painting? The real joy wasn't just in finishing. It was in stepping back to enjoy it. That's the invitation of Sabbath. Step back, see beauty, and delight in God. This is a challenge for those of us who find that on our rest days, we find ourselves drawn to the computer to catch up on emails, errands, tax returns, and even house cleaning. So let me show you something lovely. As we work through the Bible and come to Jesus, we see Jesus give out this amazing invitation to busy, stressed out people. Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, and you have probably heard this quote before. Jesus offers, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Wow. On the first page of the Bible, the climax of creation was rest. Now, at the high point of the Bible, the arrival of Jesus, we see that Jesus gives rest. The rest our souls are looking for. Not just physical rest, but deep soul-level rest. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished. The work of salvation is done." Just like when I put down the brush when my painting was finished, Jesus laid down his life so we could rest. In Christ, we rest not because we earned it, but because he did. And so in Hebrews 4, we are told that there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, and Jesus brings us into it. There is an invitation for us to join Jesus in the rest of God. So people are expecting me tonight to invite people to become Christians, because that's part of what happens in a talk at church. But here's the crazy, amazing, lovely thing. The invitation to become a Christian is an invitation to rest, to enjoy, to go on holidays with God. So I want us to hear the words of Jesus tonight. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm going to finish by showing you how the Bible finishes on the topic of rest. There are two sides to it, one an invitation and one a warning. The Bible starts with rest in Genesis, and it ends with rest in Revelation. Let's read the invitation from God in Revelation 14:13, where the Apostle John writes, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so they will rest from their labors, since their works follow them." This is the picture of heaven. No more striving, sorrow, or stress, but to a place of complete peace and rest in God's presence. Only peace, joy, and perfect communion with God. And here's the really cool thing. Every time or every week that I have a rest day and enjoy a meal with friends or walk in the park or watch a movie or do something other than work, we are rehearsing for heaven. So the learning point for me tonight is that I am going to start saying to Regina, my wife, "Hey, Regina, what do you want us to do on Saturday as we together practice for heaven?" But there's a negative side as well. In the same chapter that we read that amazing promise, there is a warning. It's a line that has come into popular culture, but misquoted. Revelation 14:11, "There is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and its image, or anyone who receives the mark of its name." Or the way that line has come into popular culture is, "There's no rest for the wicked." What the line means is that those who do not follow God and instead follow the devil, they won't rest in heaven. They will get God's judgment. They will get eternity without rest. They will get hell. So bottom line, God gives us a rest day. He gives us the rest day because God created in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. God rescued us and gave us the rest to remember his rescue. Resting is practice for heaven. Jesus comes to give us rest. And we have an offer of resting with Jesus in heaven forever. So what should we do? We should see God's rest day or the Sabbath not as a limitation or an obstacle, as a gift, a blessing from God. Receive God's gift. Make space to stop. Set aside time for worship, renewal, and joy. Trust Jesus as our true rest. What a lovely thing. We don't have to earn God's love. We already have it. Live with eternity in view and let the hope of future rest shape our present choices. Practice for heaven by resting. Final application for me, and this is the personal journey I have been on. A few months ago, back in April, I was so busy and feeling burnt out. And this preparation here for you tonight, where I have looked in detail at what God says, has helped me to see that God doesn't want me to just keep on producing output and exhaust myself. God wants me to trust him and to be someone who rests and enjoys him as I complete my work each week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of rest. Thank you that you are not a harsh taskmaker, but a loving God who invites us to stop, to breathe, and to delight in you. Help us to trust you with our time, to rest in Christ, and to long for the day when we will rest fully with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.